Hi there, I'm Akash, founder of Windly, where we fix allergies for life. This is Founders and Builders, where I talk to people who are working hard to bring something new and meaningful into this world.
Hello everyone, I'm here with Maitham Deeb. He is selling shovels into this incredible rise of digital health. I've enjoyed partnering with him at my company, Windly, but I'll let Maitham introduce himself and what he does.
Hi, I'm Maitham, founder and CEO at Vital. Vital is an API for at-home health. We make it easy for digital health companies to collect data from wearables and medical devices and deliver at-home lab tests to users.
Maitham, I have to be honest. Working with y'all has completely transformed Windly. I know it sounds like this is a sponsored message, guys. This really isn't. What we do at Windly is we send out allergy tests to our patients and they take them. And we make them a personalized treatment plan off the results. We used to do this off with a traditional lab, and we were drop shipping the tests ourselves. We were printing everything, and it was just an absolute headache. Working with Maitham, we've literally been able to scale 10x, and I'm hoping 100x as we continue to grow. Being an API for digital health, what does that mean? What's included in that?
Yeah, so I mean, today we have two APIs right now. The idea is that healthcare is moving to the at-home model, or at least a hybrid model, and the tools today to collect data from the home really suck, to be honest. So our first offering, we started out in the wearable space. We saw like there's a ton of wearables now becoming more and more, you know, medical grade. How do we just plug in and aggregate all the data from there? We started out doing that. Soon after, we kind of launched that, spoke to a few more customers, and realized a lot of people were aggregating this data and then reacting off it. Whether it was trying to tailor a sort of health offering, you know, whether it's coaching, a nutritionist, or even more towards metabolic health, a lot of people were actually interested in actually sending at-home lab tests to users, as well as, you know, once I've collected data, I need to do something with the data and react to that. So that's where we started looking into at-home lab tests. And we started that offering with actually a previous YC company called Mazo at the time, and then Windly. And we just saw a ton of people wanting that offering. That's how we started.
Well, it sounds like a pretty clear story to me. Y'all saw that there was a consumer-driven demand for how do I get my wearable data into different platforms, whether it's your Apple Watch or your Whoop or your continuous glucose monitor. You built that API there. And then as you continued speaking with your customers, who were folks that were serving these end users with the wearables, you saw that they needed more. They wanted to be able to provide actionable outcomes versus just, hey, here's your data. Exactly. Is that correct? Or
that's correct. And I think that's really the reason we need the at-home testing section is because wearables just aren't invasive enough yet, right? They're getting there, but you need the actual lab test data to be able to provide the actionable insights. Yeah, so we listened to our customers and kind of provided that API as well.
So this is very interesting. I see a very strong parallel to Stripe or to Twilio, where they started with a very, very narrow initial surface area, and then they slowly started expanding it based off of their customer demand. It's very Y Combinator. Do what your customer wants, build something people want. Do you feel like the opportunity here just grows forever? Because could you become the platform for all healthcare data, all wearable data? How are you thinking about it?
We build ourselves as kind of as Twilio for healthcare. We're starting out in wearables, like I said, with wearable space, because we see a demand there right now, as well as the at-home lab testing. But, you know, where do we go from here? It's a great question. There's a lot of opportunities, I think, in how do you tie insurance into this at-home model. So I think part of areas we're interested in expanding, especially now with the recent CMS changes, looking into could we become an aggregator for insurance information? And now that all you can actually aggregate data from all the different types of insurers, does it make sense to start an API there? So there's several areas like we're looking into. That's just one of them that we think could be interesting, could be useful for, you know, any sort of at-home or DTC healthcare company. Because right now, as soon as you provide at-home testing, right now a lot of it is sort of cash pay and very few insurers cover it. But today, if you want to find out whether your insurance covers it or not, it's a bit of a horrible experience, right? You call up your insurer, have to find out, or, you know, go through the explanation of benefits, etc. But what if that was just a seamless experience? I think a lot of DTC companies would prefer it to be that way, especially tech companies, right? So that we see there's a natural evolution there and tying in some sort of insurance API to our product.
You're speaking my language. The reason that we don't take insurance is because it's just a completely horrible experience for our end users. When I think about first principles for my company, it's very much how do I improve the allergy care experience for my patients and the headaches that insurance causes are not worth the additional revenue or additional market share that it would bring. It's just such a heavy lift. But you're absolutely right. After the diagnostic, we want to put them on a treatment. And that's where, in America especially, people are just very used to paying for their medical treatment with insurance. We're starting to see a small change there, but we want to serve everybody, not just folks with disposable income.
I totally agree with that. I think that that's where a lot of DC companies get to, is like they scale to a certain amount with cash pay, and then it's like, okay, well, how do you appeal to everyone, right? Not just those who can afford it.
One thing that was very interesting to me, and again, you positioned yourself as a Twilio for healthcare or a Stripe for healthcare, is they really took a just absolutely shitty experience and made it better for developers. So Twilio, it was for sending text messages. Stripe was for making payments. And what we've seen is they took something that required a lot of human interaction, that required just knowing somebody, and they turned it into one API call. And we've seen this phrase get flung around. I feel like it's on every single SaaS startup site nowadays. Get X with one API call. But healthcare is particularly interesting because I don't think the people you're integrating with have great APIs either, right?
No. And that's the biggest challenge for us. There's massive complexity in what we're doing. Even if you just start out in the wearables API, we integrate with, you know, over probably we have about 300 plus devices, you know, over 15 integrations now. Just integrating with those 15 has been painful, right? Everyone has a different API. There's no agreed standard. Some use OAuth, some don't. So just even staying in the software realm, it's extremely difficult with the wearables API. And then you go to the labs API, and that's, you know, there's human elements involved, logistics. You got to integrate with lab partners. And I think you guys know this, right? When you first started doing this, integrating with labs is horrible. A lot, they're not tech first. You know, you still get your results as PDFs. There's no APIs. It's just a nightmare. And, you know, that's something that we've tried to really help you guys out here. And that's what we're essentially taking over all the operation complexity and just giving you guys the ability just to make an API call and get the results, right? So yeah, both sides, even if you stay in the software realm of healthcare, it's still a nightmare to integrate despite the better standards that are coming out. And even on the lab side, it's a lot worse. So as soon as you get logistics and labs involved, it's even harder to integrate.
Absolutely. One thing that I hear just during this conversation, though, is there's like an eagerness. You want to get down and dirty. How did you get started in healthcare data and healthcare software that launched you into doing Vital?
I actually studied aerospace, completely different. So I started out as an aerospace engineer at the time. After I graduated, I was working on some pretty cool projects around electrical vertical takeoff, etc., and designing control systems for aircraft. But then at the time, I think I'd had about, you know, I think it was about 10 surgeries. And then I had a chronic like healthcare condition with my stomach. I was misdiagnosed. I just got fed up and just was like, you know what? I want to fix this. So at that point, I kind of really focused on my own problem, which was, you know, because I had a lot of different sort of health ailments during my time, I kind of do my utmost to optimize my health as much as possible. So before I kind of got stuck in, I wanted to learn more about the area. So my first transition was going from an aerospace company to a health tech company. So I joined Babylon Health at the time in the UK, and there sort of just started learning, absorbing as much as possible. And I think that's where I first spotted the problem. So at the time, the company I was working for had a product which involved aggregating data from wearables. I saw what a nightmare that was from an engineering perspective. And on top of that, they then had, you know, an at-home testing product. And they had set up a whole team. They hadn't like had really a focused effort on that. And what that meant was that the product was kind of subpar. And I just saw the problems they went through, which was exactly the same problems you went through when you started Windley. It's just integrating with labs, dealing with the logistics, handling customer support issues. So I really spotted those two problems at the healthcare company that I worked for, and then decided to do something about it. And that's kind of like how Vital started. So we started out in the software space simply because that's what I knew best. And then we quickly iterated by listening to customer feedback.
You had talent, you had a personal pain point. Sounds like it was a very personal pain point. An unfortunate common occurrence is a lot of healthcare founders seem to have been personally affected by just how atrocious the American or sometimes even non-American healthcare systems can be, and just how frustrating it is. And when they really start digging into it, once they meet a partner, or once they meet a subject matter expert, they realize that there's no reason that it can't be better. it sounds like you got really deep in there and you started trying to fix the consumer experience. And then you realize that that's not enough. You can't change healthcare fundamentally by only fixing one consumer's experience.
Exactly. And my initial thought was, okay, let's build a consumer product. The idea was it would aggregate all your data and then, you know, provide care on top of that. I think a lot of, when you first start out in healthcare, you're like, okay, I want to do something like this. And you realize you've got to take a much more focused approach. And you've also got to really get down to the problems. Like, okay, why haven't other companies done this before? And the main reason that we saw was that it's just very difficult to do with just one vertical. Imagine trying to, you know, if you're just looking at metabolic health, you're trying to integrate with a device in, you know, one of the devices that measures diabetes. It's extremely difficult. And then you try to tie that data in with the data from other sources, it gets even harder, right? So that's where I kind of got the idea is, why don't we take on all that heavy lifting and just focus on aggregating all the data, making it easy to collect data from wearables and home lab tests, and then we'll hopefully empower more digital health companies to provide better offerings to their consumers.
And that's why when I started out with your introduction, I said you're selling shovels. Everyone else is treating patients. You're just enabling them to do it better. I think it's an incredible opportunity. The largest healthcare company or healthcare enablement company, so to speak, in the US is Epic Systems. And they are very old and ready for disruption. And there's no reason it shouldn't be you. They have lock-in in all the hospitals.
There's a ton of incentives there that you'd have to work around. But
it's incentives in healthcare. We're going to need a second podcast episode.
More than one.
So this is runaway success. You're a $1 billion company now. You've done the Airbnb from throwing air mattresses onto people's floors during conferences to changing the entire shape of the travel industry. What is an analog for vital experiences at growth? What are the secondary effects of you guys becoming so large? How has the world changed positively?
I think the way we see healthcare evolving at Vital is there will be many, rather than sort of going to see one doctor, there will be many companies all looking within one specific vertical of healthcare. So there'll be an increased verticalization of healthcare. And with that, what we see is we'll be powering these companies. Just as Windley will probably have the best at-home allergy treatment or even allergy treatment in the long run, we see there will be many verticals within healthcare. We'll have, you know, many companies like yourselves that are focused on one specific vertical. The reason or the driving forces behind that is that people want more personalized treatment. At the end of the day, this model, this idea of, you know, I go to a GP, the GP today prescribes a treatment based on his knowledge and his experience, which is the best of what we have now. A lot of times when I've, you know, been to a GP in the past, they've, you know, might have Googled problem, you know, Google symptoms in front of me. I think it's recognizing that GPs do the best they can with what they know, but that we can do even better. And we do that by having specialists looking after one specific vertical in healthcare, and you'll have companies forming around these specialties, and Vital will be powering these companies. Yeah, the healthcare market, and yes, I hate to say it, but you know, something like $6 trillion or some insane amount. So there's definitely opportunity here. And I think people are unhappy to pay when they don't see good outcomes from a therapy or, you know, paying too much for insurance, etc.
So it sounds like really you will change the fundamental healthcare experience. No longer is it sitting in an office for maybe 30, 40 minutes, feeling like you don't matter, having a doctor spend 5 minutes maximum with you, telling some nurse practitioner to run some tests on you, and then just feeling like as a patient that you're just not valued. Instead, what you're really enabling is for a fundamentally different type of healthcare company. Not one that's built around the traditional insurance and practice model, but one that is solely focused on maximizing the patient experience, whether it comes down to value-based care, whether it comes down to making the patient feel like they matter. Maybe it simply comes down to not even having them wait in an office for 40 minutes once they show up. You are going to be the platform that healthcare will change on. And that's what runaway success looks like for you.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what happens there is, yeah, there's an opportunity because healthcare is an opportunity. But I love that, you know, you're not leading with the money. You haven't, you're not like an MBA who sat down and did a, you know, SWOT analysis and said, this is what we should make. You're someone who has personally been frustrated, has seen other people be frustrated, and is just trying to change the world and is succeeding, in my opinion. And I love it. With that being said, though, it's not easy to change the world. We've been working for about a year. You guys have probably been working on this for maybe 2 years or 3 years. Let's say you went back in time 2 years and you could say something to your past self. What would you say? What advice would you give yourself?
Focus on working on something you are very, very, very curious about. You hear a lot with founders is like, focus on what intrinsically motivates you. So really just focus on a problem that matters to you. I think we wasted a lot of time by not focusing on an area that we just weren't. We just focused on things that were hot right now. And there are some founders who can do that. Some founders are happy to work on things, you know, that they don't really care about. They see growth and they'll just, you know, go into that area and grow that company, whatever it may be, without being that curious or passionate about that industry. And the other founders, which I think I place myself in that bucket, which is I have to be like intrinsically motivated. I have to be infinitely curious about the problem. And I think that would be my advice, is really just hone in on what you really, really, really care about and focus on that. Just keep speaking to customers, iterating. I think one thing as well is try to sell something before you have it, really. I think that's also like a good exercise. Gauge interest before you write any line of code. I think that's super important.
So be intensely interested in the problem, because it's hard to stay motivated and get revenue as quickly as possible, because there's no better proof of people wanting to do something.
Exactly. Ultimately, if people are paying for it, then it's a product that people want, provided they don't churn instantly. That's a good indicator that you're onto something.
I would certainly agree. Even with Windley, there are times where I feel like, is this worth it? And I've heard this echoed by every founder I've ever spoken to. And you need something that makes you push through on the late nights. And as far as the revenue thing, look, maybe I'm old school, but I think revenue beats everything else. But I also don't work in social media, so who knows?
No, I think, like I said, revenue is extremely important. I think you have to operate in two modes, right? One mode is like, you've got the pressure of investors and, you know, you need to grow the company. But, you know, you got to take a step back sometimes and also be like, okay, well, you know, what am I really interested in? And that's what's going to keep you motivated, not the, for me at least, like, money motivates you, but it's a byproduct of me being really curious about what I'm working on, right? You know, seeing growth is amazing, and that obviously motivates me as well, but I think it's important to have both.
The growth is simply proof that you're doing something that matters. I love it. Before we wrap up the conversation, is there anything you want to tell the listener?
No, just check out tryvital.io. We're interested to chat to anyone who is in the digital healthcare, whether you're looking at, you know, you have to be healthcare, it could be fitness. We're happy sort of to onboard you, give you access, and yeah, take tryvital out for a spin.
Thanks for your time, man. I'm sure we'll catch up later.
Awesome. Thank you, Akash.
This episode of Founders and Builders is brought to you by Windley. At Windley, we fix allergies for life with personalized treatment plans that train your body to ignore your allergies. Our doctors use an FDA-approved treatment, allergy immunotherapy, to train your immune system to ignore its allergy triggers. By exposing you to naturally occurring allergens in gradually increasing doses, we fix the root cause of your allergies. Plus, the entire Windley experience is convenient and easy, with telehealth visits and medicine sent right to your door. You never have to go to a doctor's office. If you want to live without allergies, then visit Windley.com. That's WYNDLY.com. Remember, life's better without allergies. Thanks for listening to Founders and Builders. Make sure to subscribe and share this episode with a friend. You can find more episodes at akash.io. That's akash.io. Or just find Akash on Twitter.